they always go to the well on this home ice thing, which they should. I've been here all spring. They should. They're really comfortable here. Pittsburgh will be the best they've been. And I told you last night they play their best game in the series, and they did. I'm just letting people know in advance. Pittsburgh will play their best game of the series. I don't know if it'll be good enough or not to win. I watched this movie last year against San Jose. They were phenomenal against San Jose in Game 6. Pittsburgh will play their best game of the series in Game 6. I don't know if it'll be enough or not, but Nashville better be ready.
Clements to the bench for a change. Under 2 minutes to go, first period. Pass ahead to Mike Fisher, gave it back across. Wilson to Fisher, spins one. Crosby defending there. Meanwhile, it's angled along. Hoping to poke it along was Wilson, who was covering. Now Crosby starts ahead. Angles it on, and here comes Hagelin through the legs. Crosby, save made by Rene. Centering pass on. What a save made by Matt Murray. A pad stop on a lightning-like shot that came from Auberg. Now it's Forsberg. Save made by Buckley. Score! And the arms of the referee are up. Sissons goal.
Peter, is it tougher considering the disallowed goal and then the way they scored at the end of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. It's more difficult.
They cancel. Rust able to step up there and play it on to Mata. Given back up now to Kunitz, and Kunitz walks it ahead with a minute and three quarters to go. Kunitz tries to shake through and cannot. Dealt around behind by Ellis. Arriving first is Kunitz. Kunitz to the outside, got it back to Schultz, and a shot went wide. Rebound off the boards. They score! The Penguins have scored. It is Hornquist.
No, yes. You know, I came from the bench and went straight to the net, and Kuni went down there and actually get up on the behind of the net, and I just pick it up there and try to bank it off Rene, and yeah, it worked.
Along the turn is Subban, 28 seconds to go. Able to move away from Kunitz. Subban able to get it one side, back to Arvidsson. Arvidsson tried to play it for the front, Dumoulin got there. Forced back off the boards, and Subban can't catch up to it. Along comes Hagelin, moving on in. He scores! Hagelin with 13.6 to go.
1 second left to go. And the puck into the car corner, and it's all over. The Pittsburgh Penguins have won the Stanley Cup as they have defeated the Nashville Predators here in Nashville, 2-0. And you can tell your ma, you can tell your pa, I'm going to send you back to Arkansas. Stanley Cup champions 2017, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, somewhere Ray Charles is smiling. Welcome back. Hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. That was Pierre Maguire on Friday. Here comes Pierre Maguire on Monday.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Voted called Montreal's best sandwich in Montreal third year in a row. Thanks, Montreal. You gotta love a Dagwood sandwich.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
Excellent, my friend. Mitch, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Where are you right now?
On the shores of the Saugatuck River, watching my 16-year-old daughter train.
Wow, no rest for the weary. Congratulations.
No, I shot pucks this afternoon. I came home and shot pucks for an hour with my son, and now I'm at rowing. So there you go.
How are you going to remember this Stanley Cup triumph by Pittsburgh, the first in 20 years to do it back-to-back?
With a lot of respect, having gone through it and done it. With a lot of, I would say more than anything else, respect for legacy. Players in that team, Chris Kunitz, 4 Stanley Cups, Crosby, 3, Malkin, 3, not having Letang, standing at center ice and hugging with Marc-Andre Fleury and seeing the tears in his eyes, knowing that he probably won't be back in that uniform again. I have a ton of respect for what's gone on with that group. Obviously, you know, I'm friends with one of the owners, and I will fondly remember this team more probably than the one that won in 09. And my best friend was a GM of the team in 09 just because of what this team went through. I have a ton of respect. I guess that's the thing I remember the most, respect.
We're going to go out with your On Ice conversation with Mario Lemieux, and then later Sidney Crosby as well, their coach.
Well, I just give our players so much credit. These guys are warriors. They're so competitive. They really enjoy one another. I think we've got a unique chemistry. I've said this on many of occasions here through this playoff run. We believe it's a competitive advantage for us. We just have great people in our dressing room. These guys are character guys.
You know, everybody by now knows they've won two in a row, the first team to do it in 20 years since Detroit. Mike Sullivan has won two cups in less than 2 years. What a way to start his second NHL coaching career.
And I give Mike full credit. First of all, Mike was wise enough to take Jacques Martin, take him out of the press box and put him on the bench, number one. Number two, he really entrusted Mike Bales, the goalie coach, who doesn't get nearly enough credit with working with Marc-Andre Fleury and also Matt Murray. And then I think more than anything else, he really found a key ally in Rick Tocchet. Rick is a brilliant coach. Not because I had the chance to coach him and win with him. Rick's a really good coach. He's an excellent power play man. He's excellent in terms of communicating with star players. He understands how to get role players to be better. Mike was wise enough to delegate authority. And Mike didn't do that his first time around in Boston. Mike learned a lot after his disappointment in Boston. I give him so much respect and credit for that.
I think just to be able to share this with this group of guys, a good chunk we're returning, it's pretty special. But you know, even for the new guys, just to be able to share that with this group. I mean, that was our goal at the start of the year. We knew it hadn't been done in a long time. And to be able to accomplish it is a great feeling.
Congratulations, Sidney.
Thanks.
There's the tail end of that on-ice conversation with Conn Smythe Trophy winner Sidney Crosby. Third cup. Safe to say that this was the most unlikely of the three?
I think last year was, if you want to know the truth, and I'll tell you why. Last year, the year before, so it's in December of that of the cup, first cup for them, they were in 12th spot on December the 12th, 12th in the National Hockey League. They were floundering. They were in trouble. I think they lost four of Mike Sullivan's first five games. They were in deep trouble. I know I did. I think I did three of those five games. They were in deep trouble. And they found a way to get it done. They made some subtle little changes. And this goes to Jim Rutherford and Randy Sexton and Jason Bottrell and Billy Guerin, the management team there. They brought in Carl Hagelin. They brought in Trevor Daly. They brought up Connor Sheary. They brought up Matt Murray. They made some subtle little moves, not huge moves, but subtle little moves that made their team better. I actually think last year was a harder cup for them to win than this year, if you want to know the truth.
With Pierre Maguire, because you know there weren't a whole lot of people around the NHL once it was apparent that Chris Letang was not returning who thought they'd get this far.
Rod, get the tapes. Here's what I said. And I'll tell you this because I remember clear as day. They can win without Christopher Letang because they did it last year in Game 4 against Washington without Letang in a huge moment. He was suspended. And Trevor Daly played 28 minutes in the game. He had a goal and two assists. He was plus three in the game. And I saw that they had more than enough depth. Now, this is before they got Ron Hainsey. But they had more than enough depth to get it done. Because of the improvement of Dumoulin, because of the improvement of Ian Cole, because of the improvement of Olli Maatta, and that's why I give a lot of credit, a ton of credit to Jacques Martin. But I felt they could win, and I told you that before the playoffs started.
Well, when I say people around the league, you're not typical of people around the league.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant, okay.
No, I wasn't. I would have said right. You. I would have called you out, Maguire. I would have said you said they couldn't win without him. But that's, I'm pointing out, you were in the minority, though.
Okay, no, but you're right. Most people around the league thought they were going out in the second round to Washington. That is true.
It really felt like during the playoffs, but especially in the final, Pierre, that the Penguins were building towards something. And in a lot of international tournaments, you tell us it doesn't really matter how you look in game one or game two. You've got to build and peak at the right time. Different format, obviously, in the NHL playoffs, but it still felt like Pittsburgh was building towards something.
Oh, boy, that is so correct. Rod, every single series, they started a little bit slow. Now, obviously, they won two against Nashville, but they weren't great in those games. They had surges. They weren't great as games. They were great surges. They got better and better. Crosby says to me on the ice yesterday, yes, we were very good in game five,
but we knew we could win here because of the way we played in Game 4. They thought they were good enough to win in Game 4. They lost 4-1. They thought they were good enough to win that game. They probably were. Pekka was awesome.
Yeah, Sid's a great guy. You know, he's a team guy, and he's the best. You know, you watch him out there, he does everything well, and, you know, he battles every night.
All right, there's Phil Kessel. Pierre, I don't know what you could add at this point to Sidney Crosby. I got to say, I'm a little amused by this talk of, well, this cements his legacy, as if prior to last night he wasn't already considered one of the great players we've ever seen. But I don't know. You go ahead. You want to add to it?
No, you've nailed it. I love listening to you talk about historical moments in hockey because you've got as good a brain for anybody with hockey stuff and baseball. But the one thing I'd say, the international stuff that Sidney's done doesn't get enough respect. The golden goal in Vancouver doesn't get enough credit. The winning in Sochi doesn't get enough credit. The World Cup of Hockey doesn't get enough credit. The 05 World Junior in Grand Forks, North Dakota doesn't get enough. I mean, there's so many things he's done for Canada that doesn't get enough credit. And then I go in to do games in Ottawa. And I love the Ottawa fans. I do. I live there. I work for that team. I love the fans there. And they're booing the heck out of the guy. Like, you don't have to cheer for him, but you don't have to boo him either. He's internationally, he doesn't get nearly enough acclaim. He's been one of the great, truly great Canadian international players of all time. Not just NHL, but international players of all time.
Mitch?
Well, with the Conn Smythe Trophy going to Sidney Crosby, obviously, Pierre, very very impressive that he was able to do it in back-to-back years. But what would you say to the people that thought maybe Malkin was more deserving or Matt Murray, even though he only played in this conference final and the final?
Well, because Matt Murray didn't play against Columbus, Matt Murray didn't play against Washington, and Matt Murray came in after Game 3 disappointment in Ottawa. So I don't think that's a legacy for a Conn Smythe. Malkin would be the first person to tell you he was really good in some spots and he was not so good in others. Crosby was amazingly consistent throughout this entire playoff. And he drove. Look at Jake Gensel's numbers. Who did Jake Gensel play with? He played with Sidney Crosby. I mean, you look at Jake Gensel's numbers. That's unbelievable. Jake Gensel was a third-round pick. He's 5'9", 155 to 160 pounds. That's what he weighs. Look at his numbers. He played with Crosby. Crosby was the best player in the playoffs.
You're trying to soak it in as much as you can, but sometimes it's hard to get caught up in the moment. So obviously I'll think about a couple of days and just be so happy.
There's Jake Gensel. I think Mike Sullivan kind of alluded to that last night while he was talking about having, you know, 1A and 1B, and we know who A is and we know who B is, that when Malkin doesn't always have his A game, but they, you know, that happens. Happens to every player through 82 games plus a long playoff run. But I think that was a... It was kind of like a reaffirmation to those who were looking merely at the points and suggesting that Crosby shouldn't have won the Conn Smythe.
Well, it's unfortunate. I'm not sure they watched the entire playoff. The fact is, I'm still shocked that Crosby was able to come back after the headshot from Niskanen and then the awful collision behind the net in the Washington series. I really am. I was there for that. A lot of people thought that the Pittsburgh Penguins were fudging the medical reports, that he shouldn't even have been allowed to go back in the games. Remember that, Mitch?
Sure. Yep.
So, I mean, he did a lot. But if you ask any player on that team, they will tell you the driving force of their team was Sidney Crosby.
So you and Mitch over the years have told us several times, it was recently last week, Crosby in the past, he's identified a flaw in his game, and he did whatever it took to get that to a point where it was no longer a weakness. I mean, what kind of flaw is there now? Like, what's he going to work on now to improve?
Three people.
Well, his flaw was defense, and it's no longer a flaw. It's an asset because he realizes now if you play good defense, you're going to get better offense because you're going to force turnovers. You're going to spend less time defending and more time attacking. So he's worked on that. You know what? He still has it. It's a flaw of his, and I guarantee he would tell you if he was, and he'd probably be smiling, he needs to work on his one-timer. His one-timer's not great. It's okay. Don't worry. It's okay.
But if he has one subtle flaw, it's his one-timer is not very good.
Yeah, because if it was, he would have scored on that shot early on Rene, right?
See?
Yep.
You saw it along the ice. He couldn't elevate the puck. Exactly right. That's why it can go to you. His backhand is the best in the league. It's one of the probably three or four best in the history of the game. His vision is on par with Gretzky's in terms of peripheral vision. His ability to beat players one-on-one is as good as Lemieux's. I don't know if he would. I don't know this because I was young. Bobby Orr was one of the fastest players ever, so I don't know if he has the explosive speed of Orr, but he's pretty darn quick. He matches up with all the greats. The only thing is, you know what, you want to compare him to Gordie Howe fighting? No, he can't beat Gordie Howe in a fight, or he couldn't beat Gordie Howe in a fight, no.
Subban at his own line, up the right side, puck deflected in to the Pittsburgh zone. Kessel behind the net, gives the puck away, far corner, out in front, oh, what a stop by Murray with the right pad on Auberg, off the giveaway. Now Auberg with the puck, here's Forsberg, down the left side with a shot, save, rebound, score! It is knocked in, but waved off.
The whistle blew, Kenny.
The video review was given the right, a year or so ago, to be able to review that and deem it to be a legal goal if it was in the act of crossing the goal line. But it has to be almost there, almost ready to cross for them to allow it.
You could sit here and say, oh, you know what? It's not really fair that the Nashville Predators lost a goal in the Stanley Cup final. Kevin Pollock blew the whistle too early. You could put that in the video review and you could fix it. Well, that's what you think, and then you start going down that rabbit hole, and suddenly you end up with a whole bunch of unintended consequences, and the game goes that much further away from where it's supposed to be.
I don't know. I mean, obviously it's unfortunate, but, you know, what are you going to do? It's over and done with, and you can't look at it. At the end of the day, there's got to be a winner and a loser, and it just sucks that we're on the losing side of it.
Pierre, you heard Peter Laviolette at the beginning of all this. That was raw emotion there. You understand how not only they, but especially they, the fan base and everybody in Nashville, but especially the people directly involved, how they feel about it. Bob McKenzie this morning, Carey Fraser with Knuckles Nylon on Off the Cuff is just a badly timed call.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. But if you watched our broadcast, what we showed was Kevin Pollock's intent was to blow the whistle. You see, and we had Eddie put an arrow pointing to his hand coming from his hip to his mouth so that he could blow the whistle. So the actual rule is the intent of when you're going to blow it. He lost sight of the puck. So in the perfect world, according to the rule book, he got it right. Unfortunately, he got it wrong because he didn't see that the puck was loose behind the goalie. I will tell you, because I was on the other side of Matt Murray, that puck was loose. Yeah. I saw it. The puck was loose. I'm on that line. I see it. It's loose. I'm not on the same line as Carey Fraser. Kevin Pollock. I'm not on the same line, so I don't see it the same way. That's the unfortunate part. But I felt terrible for Nashville, but this is how much respect I have for them. If you listen to PK and you listen to Mike Fisher, the way they handle that situation afterwards, that's professionalism. If I'm a scout or I'm a manager of a team or I'm a director of player personnel, I listen to what they said and I say, those guys understand. They understand the concepts of what it takes to win because of the way they handled that situation.
Let's start with Nashville on our remaining moments before we get to Pierre on the ice with Mario Lemieux right after the game and work backwards. Clearly, Ryan Johansson hurt that team badly going up against a team loaded down the middle. What else does Nashville learn from this?
They learn that they're going to have to add more scoring down the wings. Forsberg and Arvidsson were good scorers, but Arvidsson, I don't know if it lasts. He had 8 goals last year. He had 31 this year. That's a major trend swinger. I don't know if that lasts. Forsberg had 33 2 years ago, 31 this year. I think that lasts. But they need more scoring. One guy internally that they have is Pontus Auberg. He was a big scorer for Djurgården and Färjestad over in Sweden. So I think he can make it go. But they need scoring on the wings. And if in a perfect world, let's just say Mike Fisher retires. I don't know if he does or doesn't. But there's a lot of rumors he will. Then you move Sissons into the two hole. Johansson's in the one hole. You need more down the middle to be an elite, elite team because you have more than enough on defense and you have more than enough in goal.
In addition to asking Dion Phaneuf to waive his no-movement clause for the expansion draft, what else is Ottawa thinking about as they watch Pittsburgh, a team they took as far as you can before they were eliminated? What are they thinking here?
They have to stay healthy. They were decimated by injury to key players. They gave everything they had. I have so much respect for that group of players. They gave it all. Cody Ceci was playing hurt. He'll be protected. Erik Karlsson was playing hurt. He'll be protected. You know, they were decimated by injury, Mitch. That was the hardest thing for them. It's just they didn't have enough. Now it comes down to if enough waves, then they protect Mark Methot and think that maybe Vegas doesn't take enough and they take Freddie Claesson, which would be, you know, good. But I don't know. I don't know what happens if Dion waves. Maybe George McPhee says, I'm going to get a really good group of goalies. I'm going to get a really good defense, and I'm going to go swinging for the fences in free agency. So we'll see. But if Dion waves, which I'd be surprised if he waves, by the way, he loves Ottawa. He loves playing there. So if he does wave, it'll be interesting.
And the Capitals, what are they thinking?
Oh, they're thinking big. They got to get to the negotiation table quick. They're in trouble. They're going to lose Alzner. Can't see Carl Alzner going back there. He goes to market July 1st. There are going to be offers that will blow Washington out of the water. They got to get Oshie signed. Oshie, critically important to get Oshie signed. They're probably going to lose Daniel Winnick. They got to get Nate Schmidt signed. They're going to have big cap issues there. Not little cap issues, big cap issues there. So they got to get to the table and figure this out. They really do.
What about Williams, Pierre? Because apparently the Canadians were interested last time.
Unless he gives him a Mitch Gallo, unless he gives them a hometown discount, I think he's gone.
All right, so
I can't see.
Let's segue there because I think you missed Mitch's last part. There was 2 years ago when he was a free agent. The Canadians actually made a better offer than Washington did. So Mark Bergevin and his staff, we know that they won't be suffocated by the whole PK Subban winning a cup and bring it to Montreal spectrum. So. As they prep now for this expansion draft, the amateur draft, free agency, they know that the Pittsburgh Penguins have won two in a row. They know what the benchmark is. What do they do?
Wow. They better get center icemen.
Oh, like two of them.
They better get two center icemen.
Okay, done. Do we have a deal? Is there anybody? Is there anybody you would target?
Not right now. I really have to think about it because I don't want to throw names out there and create a whole firestorm. I got to think about guys that would legitimately be available. You know, it's great to play Rolodex general manager, but I got to think about it and really look.
Okay,
at it,
I'll tell you what.
I will.